Do take a seat, and let me add my welcome to Jeremy's. And as he was saying, the question I want to ask us this morning is, which superpower would you choose? Maybe the superpower to play some Belgian jazz. But I love superheroes, and I saw this this recently. Or not, if this is going to work. Mark, if you could flip us onto the next slide. I saw this film recently in the cinema, and it was great. And I wonder who your favourite superheroes are. There we go, Spider-Man No Way Home. But I wonder who your favourite superheroes are. Maybe you like Captain... Oh, there we go. I think Mark and I both did it at the same time there. I think it's working now. Maybe you like Captain America. Maybe you like the Hulk. Or maybe Superman. But I wonder what superpower you would choose. If you could choose any superpower, what would it be? So why don't you take a moment, a minute, to talk to one of the people you came with, maybe your brother or sister or parents or just who you came with, and I'll ask you in a moment what you would choose to be your favourite superpower. Well, I think we've probably got a few answers in there now. So who wants to just shout out what superpower you would choose? Sam is straight in there. What would you choose?
I would choose to have...
So Sam wants to have a force field or to be able to shoot energy balls out of his hands. Daniel, I saw your hand up next. What would you want? You'd like to shapeshift. Oh, you'd be able to do so many things with that. You'd be able to sneak into places and all sorts. And Mari, Mari would like to fly. I mean, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? I would quite like the superpower to be able to make any child sleep 8 hours throughout the night. That would be my choice right now. But they're great, aren't they? All these superpowers, they're great. It'd be fantastic to have them. And I've got a video clip for us to watch now. It shows us some of the famous superheroes at the moment in the cinema. And don't worry, it's fine for young children. So Mark's going to pop that up for us. And we can watch that.
Wow, it's so weird how you run into people at the airport. Don't you think that's weird?
Definitely weird.
Hear me out, Tony. That doctor, the psychiatrist, he's behind all of this.
Captain.
Your Highness. Anyway, Ross gave me 36 hours to bring you in. That was 24 hours ago. Can you help your brother out?
You're after the wrong guy.
Your judgment is askew. Our war buddy killed innocent people yesterday.
And there are 5 more super soldiers just like him. I can't let the doctor find him first, Tony. I can't.
Steve, you know what's about to happen. Do you really want to punch your way out of this one?
All right. I ran out of patience. On to Ruse! Nice job, kid.
Thanks. Well, I could have stuck the landing a little better. It's just a new suit. Wait, it's nothing. Mrs. Stark, it's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, we don't really need to start a conversation.
Okay. Captain? Big fan of Spider-Man?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Just...
Hey, everyone.
Good job.
But yeah, so many of us love superheroes, and we love watching them, reading about them. Maybe you imagine being them, or imagine being rescued by them if you were in trouble. And so later on, we're going to read a true story. We're going to see someone more powerful than any superhero. And it's not just a fun story, but it is real. And so let me hand back over to Jeremy now, and I'll be back a little later.
I'm going to say a prayer for the reading and for Craig, and then I'll read God's words for us. Father, thank you so much that we have your word. Thank you that we can read it in our own language. Thank you that we can have it explained in a way that we understand. Father, we pray for Craig as he teaches us. We pray that we would be able to listen well. We pray that you'd be giving us hearts that can hear you, and that you would be changing us through your word. Amen. I'm reading from Matthew 14, 22 to 36. It's in the International Children's Bible, so it will all be on the screen for you. And this is just after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Then Jesus made his followers get into the boat. He told them to go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. Jesus stayed there to tell the people they could go home. After he had said goodbye to them, he went alone up in the hills to pray. It was late, and Jesus was there alone. By this time, the boat was already far away on the lake. The boat was having trouble because of the waves, and the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus' followers were still in the boat. Jesus came to them. He was walking on the water. When the followers saw him walking on the water, they were afraid. They said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them. He said, "Have courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." Peter said, "Lord, if that is really you, then tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. He shouted, "Lord, save me!" Then Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. Jesus said, "Your faith is small. Why did you doubt?" After Peter and Jesus were in the boat, the wind became calm. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." After they crossed the lake, they came to the shore of Gennesaret. The people there saw Jesus and knew who he was. So they told the people all around there that Jesus had come. They brought all their sick to him. They begged Jesus to let them just touch the edge of his coat to be healed. And all the sick people who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So earlier we were thinking about which superpower we'd choose. And in this true story that Becky just read for us, and we see someone more powerful than any superhero. And so let's have a look at it together. The verses should come up on the screen if you're reading along with me. And this is how it starts. Then Jesus made his followers get into the boat. This is just after Jesus had fed the 5,000. He told them to go ahead of him to the other side of the lake. And Jesus stayed there to tell the people they could go home. And after he said goodbye to them, he went alone up into the hills to pray. It was late and Jesus was there alone. So at this point, Jesus seems very normal. He's just praying. He's a normal human being. But then his friends get into trouble. By this time, the boat was already far away on the lake. The boat was having trouble because of the waves, and the wind was blowing against it. You see, the disciples, they were trying to cross this huge lake, and they're trying to kind of cross from the top right and kind of skirt along the edge of the coast to the top left of this massive lake. But the really strong winds have kind of blown them out into the middle of this lake. And so imagine what that was like. It's the middle of the night. I mean, it's dark, it's very windy. They're tired from trying really hard to row and keep close to land. But no, they're so far away from land, it's scary. And it would have sounded a little like this. But then things get even more scary. Mark can put us onto the next slide when... There we go. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, so it's the middle of the night, Jesus' followers were still in the boat, and Jesus came to them. He was walking on the water. So, you know, it's getting... just starting to get a little bit light. Maybe the sky is getting a bit blue. Maybe some light's just beginning to appear on the horizon. And they see a man walking on the sea. And just like, there he is, just walking across the water. The waves are splashing. But to him, it's just like a solid floor. The liquid is like hard rock. His foot's not sinking into it. And so Matthew carries on to tell us that when the followers saw him walking on the water, they were afraid. They said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly spoke to them. He said, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." These grown men, they're terrified. They think it's a ghost. But there's no need to be afraid because it's their friend, Jesus. But what they're seeing is this, that on screen, that Jesus alone, that Jesus has the power of God. So, see here, I've got my my jug of water, and I think we all know what happens when heavy things go into water. So we got here a Playmobil man, I think it looks like a Playmobil builder, but what happens when I put him in the water? Well, he floats because he's plastic, he's not so heavy. But what about this metal car? It's a small metal car, but what happens when I put that in the water? Well, that sinks straight to the bottom. That's definitely heavy, and I'm sure a real car would also sink straight to the bottom. But what about this? What about my phone? Well, that sinks straight to the bottom. They sink. They all sink, don't they? Except for the plastic Playmobil man. He floats because he's light. And we know what happens when heavy things go on water. But what about when a person tries to go on water? We know what happens then as well, don't we? And we've got a little clip here where we can see what happens when someone tries to walk on water. So let's watch this together.
All right, Noah, listen. I'm going to just tell you this one time.
What?
Your Croc that you're wearing, if you jump in the pool the right way and you stand straight up, you will walk on the water just like they float. Okay, you got to go right to the edge of the pool, and then you got to jump in. You got to do it just right, because if you don't do it right, you'll sink all the way to the bottom. Okay? One, two, three.
You didn't lie to me.
I didn't lie to you. See? They're walking on water. You fell off of them.
Did you hear what he cried out from the water? He said, "You lied to me." Because people can't walk on water. Even if you're wearing Crocs, people can't walk on water. But God can. And in the Old Testament, as it says on screen, Job says this about God. He alone treads on the waves of the sea. Jesus has the power of God. He's a man, but he has the power of God. It's amazing. And we'll see it again later when they get to land. A huge crowd of people come to Jesus. I mean, in those last verses that Becky read, it says they brought all the sick to him. They begged Jesus to let them just touch the edge of his coat to be healed. And when all the sick people just kind of touched it, they were healed. It's incredible. Jesus has the power of God. Now, I think as I've already said today, that many of us love superheroes. They're fun stories. But they remind us of someone who is real, who is far greater. They remind us of the God-man. He's more good than Captain America. He's more strong than the Hulk. And he's more powerful than Superman. But Jesus, he has the power of God. And look at how these grown men treat him in verse 33. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So I wonder if you can see that. It doesn't really matter if you like superheroes or not, but it does matter a lot what you think about this person, about Jesus, because he is real. I mean, Matthew was there and he saw all of this with his own two eyes. He saw Jesus walk on the water and heal crowds. And Matthew, he wants us to know that Jesus has the power of God. And I wonder if you believe it. And in a moment, we'll see how we're to treat him. And so, Jesus, we've seen he has the power of God. Jesus has the power of God. And here's how we are to treat him. We're to trust him. So let's see what happens next. Picking up verse 28 will be on the screen if you're reading along. And Peter said, "Lord, if that is really you, then tell me to come to you on the water." So Peter, he's scared and he's amazed and excited. There's Jesus just standing there on the water. It's jaw-dropping. And Peter, well, he trusts Jesus and he thinks, well, wouldn't it be amazing to join Jesus on the water? And so he says, "Lord, if it's you, then tell me to come to you on the water." He's so excited. So verse 29 continues, Jesus says, "Come." And Peter left the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. And so Peter, he kind of steps out of the boat onto the water and he kind of probably tests it a bit and he puts his foot down one foot and it holds his weight. It feels solid. And so he gets his next foot out of the boat and he steps down. He's now standing entirely on water and he takes his first step and then his second. And he's on the water and it's amazing. You see, Jesus isn't the only person who walked on water in the Bible. Peter does too. But then what happens? "But when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. He shouted, 'Lord, save me!' And then Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. Jesus said, 'Your faith is small. Why did you doubt me?'" So imagine what's going on here. I'm going to ask Andy Flood's going to come up and help me, and Matt's also going to come up. Or maybe one of the children, if you would like to come up and help me as well. It looks like Sam is our only eager volunteer. So you coming up, Sam? Sam, I need you to hold. You are going to be the storm for me. So you can come over here, and you can hold up this storm. Okay, you hold that up nice and high. And Matt, he's got a big J on his sign, so he's Jesus. And here we have Peter in the middle. And he's got an arrow to show us where he's looking. I'll go over here, out the way. And so, now, you see, as long as Peter is fixing his eyes on Jesus, he's fine. He sees Jesus. He knows he's powerful. He's seen him feed 5,000 people today. He's seen him walking on water. In fact, he's still standing on the water right now. He knows he has the power of God, and he trusts him. And so Peter, he walks on the water. He walks towards Jesus, and it starts off well. Peter starts by doing that, but then what happens? Peter stops looking at Jesus. He starts looking at the storm. He looks at what seems frightening. And it does seem frightening. Let's have that storm sound effect again. Frightening, isn't it? He's very fine. Now, maybe all you can help me by making lots of wind sounds. I don't know if you can. Maybe a bit louder. It's frightening. And here you go, Sam. Maybe this will make it a little bit more realistic for Andy. Maybe give him a few squirts from that. I think that'll do. I mean, not everyone is in the storm right now, just Peter. You know, and Peter takes his eye off Jesus, looks at the storm, and as he does that, his faith, it fails. He stops trusting Jesus, and he sinks. Now, what should Peter have done? He should have kept his eyes on Jesus, shouldn't he? He should have kept on trusting him. And the same is true for us. The message for us today is clear, isn't it? Jesus has the power of God, so trust him. And thank you all for helping. Andy, Matt, you can go back. You can maybe get a towel, Andy. And thank you, Sam. I will keep this out of children's reach for now. See, Jesus has the power of God. Trust him. But you know, when we stop looking at him and look at what's frightening, our faith, it will fail. So let me ask, what do you find frightening? What might be the storm for you? Here are three things that you might be frightened of. Firstly, maybe you're frightened of school. Are you ever frightened of school? You know, maybe there are some children in your class who aren't nice, or older children. Maybe you feel frightened of the work you can't do. Maybe sometimes you feel scared of going to school. And school is like the storm. It seems frightening when you think about it. And you just keep thinking about it every day. But you don't need to be afraid. You can keep your eyes on Jesus and trust him, because he has the power of God. And he's more powerful than anything. We can trust him, and he'll be a good friend to us. And you can keep telling your parents how you feel, and that's the first thing we might be frightened of, school. But how about the second thing, pain? We've got a tissue box here, but perhaps you're afraid of pain, the pain of illness, the pain of losing someone. Perhaps you feel that pain already. Perhaps you're frightened of it coming in the future, the pain of illness or the pain of losing someone. And it's natural to feel afraid of pain. Pain is terrible, isn't it? And pain is like the storm. It seems frightening. And we're tempted to kind of fix our eyes on it. But do you know, if we follow Jesus, he'll bring us into the kingdom. And there won't be any pain there at all. So don't look at the pain. Look at Jesus. Trust him. And it won't be long. And he'll come back. And he will take the pain away. So we've got school. We've got pain. And here's the third thing we might be frightened of. It's failure. Maybe not just failure with GCSEs, but failure in all sorts of things. Perhaps we fear failure at work. We fear we won't be successful. Or we worry we'll lose our job. Or that your business will fail. Or maybe we fear failure in the church. We fear that we can't serve well in church. And failure, it is like the storm. It seems frightening. And we're tempted to kind of just fix our eyes on it. But Jesus says that if we trust him and live for him, that is success. And if we do that, well, it doesn't matter what else happens in life. And when Jesus comes back, he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So don't look at the failure. Don't fear that. Look at Jesus and trust him. It won't be long and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus has the power of God. We've seen that, and we've also seen how we should respond. Jesus has the power of God, so let's trust him. And let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you that Jesus has the power of God. We thank you that he is more powerful than anything, which means we can trust him. And so every day, as different things that frighten us appear, help us to remember how powerful Jesus is and to trust in him. Amen.